Welcome back
to the Gut Feelings Podcast.
We're your hosts.
We've never done that, actually.
But we are your hosts.
Yeah. Do you even know anything about us? I'm Yasmeen, for those of you who don't know, I guess.
And I'm Mackenzie. Actually, just a quick note, I do find it nice to remember whose voice is whose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and all the two white girl best friend podcasts that I listen to, sometimes it can get a little bit confusing, so it's nice to be able to differentiate. I love that.
That's funny. Yeah, it is confusing. Yeah.
But our cover art is, I think it does represent us pretty well, because even Aiden will look at it, and he goes, Mama and Bubble. He calls Mackenzie Auntie Bubble, because she calls him Bubble. He recognized that it was us, even though it doesn't have, like, our facial features or anything like that. It just really
gets... You can tell the vibe.
Yeah, it gives off a good vibe.
Yes. Actually, we were just talking about how oftentimes I'm dressed more masculine than Yasmeen.
Mm-hmm. I'm the femme in this relationship.
She's the femme in this relationship. And I have no problem, like, embracing all sides of myself in that sense. But...
I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
I'm kidding.
I'm not attacking. I'm just saying, like, I'm very kidding. Comfortable embracing yes. my, like, you know, queerness, yeah. whatever. We were just saying how, like, typically, personality-wise, like, Yasmeen does have more of, like, a dominant vibe.
I love it when you talk dirty to me.
Yeah, baby.
No, but I if you look at the picture of us or even our cover art, like, I'm the one in the dress and, like, it's a low V-neck and whatever. Mackenzie has a little bit more of a lesbian goth vibe going on.
Lesbian goth. I'm both of those things. I'm everything at once.
But I'm, like, the cold-hearted bitch, and you're, like...
Yeah, I'm like the one that just cries.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, literally.
Well, speaking of crying, you weren't the one who just cried.
That's true.
So we did take a week off, not because I was crying, but because I had a transformative experience, and I was in Joshua Tree. It was also just a busy week. It was Mackenzie's birthday, so happy birthday, Mackenzie.
Thank you so much.
I am the worst podcast co-host because I did not make an Instagram post for you.
It's fine.
So I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not. That shit doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's more important.
Yeah.
But we decided to take a week off just because we wanted to come back and be able to provide you guys with a really interesting, really cool episode. And that week off was so necessary in so many ways, not just because of the podcast, but I do feel like I'm coming to you guys as a totally new person.
Yeah. So I feel that way, too. I just felt like it was a nice... reset button, kind of. Yeah. Not reset, that sounds bad.
26, baby.
I'm 26.
Yeah, now all of my...
that was really bad.
all of my Aquarius friends' birthdays have passed now, so now it's just Aries season coming up.
Now you don't have to worry about any more gift-giving.
Yes. Anyway.
We're really excited about this week's episode.
Oh my gosh.
Because we are interviewing Callie... Callie Shea is a hormone health, period health, woman's reproductive health coach and expert.
Yeah, she is a certified holistic health practitioner, and she specializes in hormone health and sexuality and stepping into that. And, like, selfishly, I have been so excited for this episode. We actually emailed Callie over a month ago to interview her. And so this is the first time we're interviewing somebody who we didn't know previously, like, we're not friends with in real life or on social media. So we are really excited about this episode. Again, selfishly, this is, like, everything that I've ever wanted and needed in life.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, so we will be learning right alongside you guys. I hope that you get a lot of value out of this episode and that you like the questions that we have to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And let us know in the comments of our last Instagram post, or if you want to let us know with a 5-star review, please do. And enjoy the episode.
See you on the other side.
Bye.
We're so happy to have you. We both sort of, like, binged your podcast a little bit last week.
And so, your Instagram content, which I'm obsessed with.
Thank you.
I'm just so excited. Thank you so much for agreeing to be here. And we can't wait to learn more about you. And just, we're going to be learning right along with our audience. So we're super hyped.
I'm excited. I love this stuff. I can talk about it all day. So this is great.
Perfect. You came to the right place. Yeah. Awesome. So we can just go ahead and get right into it. We ask all of our guests this, but what are your sun, moon, and rising signs, if you know that?
Cool. Yeah, actually, I have my CoStar app pulled up because I was like, all right, I want to make sure I get this.
Perfect.
I'm a Leo sun, which it's pretty accurate.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm an Aries moon and a Scorpio rising, which also makes a lot of sense.
Amazing. So we're both Scorpio risings and I'm an Aries sun. So we're like, there's a little bit of crossover happening.
Meshing happening. Yeah. So I guess the next question that we would want to obviously we want our audience to know is, what do you do and how did you get into this work?
Yeah. So I'm a holistic health practitioner and, I work specifically with women in regards to periods and sexual health. I started this work because I came off birth control, went on birth control because I was going off to college and I was like, yeah, let me, go on birth control. I'm going to have so much sex. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And, got to college and realized that I felt so terrible on it. I was like, wow, this is totally, can I cuss? Is that okay?
Oh yes.
Oh
this
yeah.
This is a cussing only podcast.
Great. I was like, this is fucking up my life.
Yeah.
So I came off of it, didn't know anything about it, and immediately had acne, hair loss, all these health issues to the point that really took over my life. I dropped out of school, moved home. I was in school in Texas and my family lived in Georgia. And I was like, I cannot take care of myself. Like, my health has gone downhill so quickly that I did not know how to take care of myself. Moved home and I lived in like a dark room for like, you know, a couple months. I was like, I'm sad and nothing matters. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm at. And my mom actually came in my room and she was like, hey, so I found this nutrition program that I think you should do. And I was like, no, mom, I don't want to do it. And I did it. And it is what gave me all the tools and the knowledge that I then, you know, ended up helping me heal my skin. It was all around like holistic health. And, here we are, however many years, 4 or 5 years later. And I initially did not go into it with the intention of, working with with clients or anything like that. I was like, if I could just figure out what's going on with my body and how to heal that, I'm good. And somewhere in my journey, I was, you know, blogging about this and sharing on Instagram and that sort of thing. And I realized that I am not the only woman who has been through this experience. And I was totally not alone in this. And I was like, wow, other people need these resources that I've figured out how to use. And so thus coaching was born and that's how I ended up here.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I know we are both super excited to have you on for selfish reasons as well, because yes, like you said, so many women can relate in some way to that story. So what you do is so amazing. And we're just really excited to be able to pick your brain a little bit. And I guess to get right into that, what is the most common thing that your community or the people that you coach come to you with?
I would say most of them come to me either for like getting off birth control or birth control has like totally screwed up their health, which was not even initially what I started talking about on social media. It was really more, I was talking about like period health in general, like, just, you know, having like healthy menstruations, and that led to like birth control. And now that's a lot of what I talk to. That and painful periods are probably like the two topics that I hear the most.
Yeah. And speaking of birth control, kind of, I know this is a really general question, but like, what's your overall view on it? And what are some common symptoms that you see your community coming to you with?
Yeah. So I think it's really easy to go to my Instagram and be like, wow, she hates birth control. Like, she must hate it. And it definitely like appears that way. And I like to say this a lot, that like, I do not hate birth control. I will absolutely fight for your right to be on birth control all day long. Like, we should have access to that. I also think that so many women go on it without knowing what actually, how it impacts the body and what it does to our systems. And we essentially don't get to like consent to the things that we are putting in our body in that way and how it's going to impact us. And so that's really why I educate so hard around it, is like, I want you to be able to choose that if you're going to go on it, you know that these are potentially things that could happen. Mm-hmm. And that you have that education, and then maybe that's a reason that you don't go on it. So I would say my general take on it is that I don't love it. I don't prefer it as a method of, definitely not as a method to like control symptoms, but certainly not as a method to, prevent pregnancy. But I also think that you should have the right to choose it if you want to be on it and also be educated about it.
Totally. Yeah. And what are some common things that you see people experience when they're coming off of hormonal birth control? And then what are some things that they can do to support their bodies throughout that process?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is when we come off birth control, you're essentially going from your body relying on a pill, an IUD, whatever it is, to run this system in your body. You know, your body's wired to, we're wired to make a baby whether we want one or not. Yeah. Like that's just what's going to happen. And so you have kind of disconnected that conversation between your brain and your ovaries. And now this pill, this IUD, whatever it is taking over and running that system for you. And so when you take it out of the body, it's almost like a shock because holy shit, like now I have to, my brain has to talk to my ovaries. It doesn't know how to do this. It hasn't done this. And, you know, sometimes 5, 10, 15 years and doesn't know how to jumpstart right back into it. And so you've got that as part of it where like your hormones just don't know how to kick back on the right way. Mm-hmm. They either do it in overdrive or there's a delay. There's just a, almost like a connection issue. I often describe it as like, you're going to like a dusty, like a electrical board and like trying to like turn back switches that haven't been on in a really long time. Mm. And you know, that's part of it is that your body doesn't know how to have that conversation, but then you've also got the effects of being on birth control for however many years that are now added, they've added up. And so birth control impacts our gut health and it impacts our ability to absorb certain nutrients and minerals. So we may have deficiencies that we're now seeing the effects of, and so you've got kind of got this combination of these two things when you come off of it that you're overloaded with all of a sudden. It's like, wow, I've removed this from my system. My hormones aren't necessarily working the way that I would like them to. And I'm dealing with like gut issues probably and nutrient deficiencies. And so if we come off of it without really preparing the body well, it can end up with issues of post-birth control syndrome. So it sounds really big and scary and it kind of is intense. I mean, that's what I experienced. That's what I went through. It can be very intense, but basically, you know, the hair loss, the mood swings, maybe your periods come back and they're so much more painful than they ever were before, or your symptoms that you had before you got on the pill are still there because whatever was causing them in the first place has not been addressed.
Or so like myself, amenorrhea.
Yeah.
That's how you pronounce that, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, you don't have a period that comes back. And so, you know, there's a combination of things. I can't just say like, oh, this is like the one thing that you'll experience when you come off birth control. It's really like this slew of like hormone imbalance symptoms that I see a lot of and gut dysbiosis.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting because I recently last year took my IUD out because I just got to the point where I felt like I'd gone so long thinking that there weren't enough hormones to affect me. And then I got to the point where I was like, something is wrong. Something is affecting me. And I got it taken out and I'm still seeing the shifts in my hormones and the way that my body is getting back into balance after the IUD being in and out of my body for about past 5 years. And I didn't even really think that there was, it was the same as birth control, as the pill. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely impacts you in a big way. And there's a lot of research that shows that the hormonal IUD specifically has a big impact on our mental health and our mental stability. And so I talk to a lot of women who are like, I feel like I've like, quote unquote, like gone crazy on this. And I'm like,
yeah
I mean, there is a connection with that.
Yeah. No, that was my experience with the pill too. I like was immediately essentially suicidal. And I was like emailing my therapist, like, what's going on? Nothing's like really specifically wrong. I just all of a sudden want to like kill myself. And
it's
again, we're kind of on the same boat as you. It's like, we're not 100% against hormonal birth control. We just like the transparency around the subject and like for people to be able to explore the options available to them.
Absolutely. And I've been doing like tracking my cycle and it's been which I know you talk a lot about, and like eating with my cycle and everything like that. But I know that like food plays a huge part in our hormone health. Our gut health is all, it's all intertwined, right? So, you know, oftentimes like we see these like fad diets and how they can like have an effect on our hormones, how food has an effect on our hormones. So could you like let us know a little bit about your thoughts on these diets, like including like intermittent fasting?
I get worked up about this.
Same.
So do we. Yeah.
I get heated. The two things that I see commonly that women are going on, and it's generally to like regain control of their body. They're like, oh my gosh, my health has spiraled out. I don't feel like myself. I'm going to go on keto or I'm going to do intermittent fasting to control my weight, to control my blood sugar, because that's what it's advertised as. And it's just so not the case there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so with intermittent fasting, there is some research that shows like, okay, it can stabilize blood sugar and things like that. But
majority of those studies are done in men.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we have to look at is what studies are you looking at and like in whose bodies?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a totally, men can intermittent fast all day long.
Yeah.
My fiance has a friend who does like 20 hour fasts and he's like in great shape and his hormones are great. And he's, and I'm like, yeah, good for you. But if I did that, like,
yeah. Well, cause they have like their circadian cycle every 24 hours where we have infradian. Yeah. Infradian.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, our bodies are constantly, whether we want to have a baby or not, it's considering it.
Yeah.
And so it really is, other than like keeping myself alive, that's my body's like number one goal, right? Stay alive. Second one is, can we have a baby? And like, that's really like how it's thinking. And so when you are removing food from the system for extended periods of time, that's not safe in theory to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And because if I can't fuel myself, how could I possibly safely have a baby? And so oftentimes, you know, in the beginning, we may feel great. Like that we get like this short term, like, oh, I've been intermittent fasting for like a month and like my blood sugar is stabilized. But when you start to add this up over time, it adds chronic stress to the system. Your body thinks that you're in starvation mode. Your body doesn't know you're intermittent fasting. It thinks that you're not eating. And so you end up in this starvation state. And there's a lot of science that shows that for women, it actually causes us to consume our own lean muscle rather than our fat, which is the idea, right? If we intermittent fast, we'll consume our body fat and then therefore we'll lose weight, that sort of thing. Not necessarily the case. And so, you know, you have to think about your body from that standpoint of like, does it feel safe enough to ovulate, to have a baby, even though I don't want one right now?
right.
That's what we're considering.
Yeah. Technically that's what your body wants. It functions
that's
best
the function,
when it's like ready to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked a little bit about things that maybe aren't the best idea. I love how you touched on the research aspect of it, because that's something as nutritionists that bother us a lot, as well as that most of these studies are done on men or best case postmenopausal women, which when you're a childbearing aged woman is definitely not necessarily applicable to you.
Right.
But what does a hormone balancing meal look like to you? What do you like to see on a plate for a woman in our age group?
Yeah. So generally I love to see women eating. Like that is like number one thing, is that we're eating enough.
And round of applause.
Yes.
You're eating. Because women are constantly told to like under eat. And I mean, I don't know if you did like MyFitnessPal, but I remember.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh, yeah. Did we? We like, went deep.
Yeah. I was really into it. And I was like, oh, 800 calories a day. Great.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
So sustainable.
I was in high school when I started like exploring that. And I was like, this makes sense for a high school girl to eat, you know, the same amount as a toddler. That makes sense.
Exactly.
It clicks perfectly.
And to work out every day, of course.
If I work out, I've eaten less calories. That's right.
Yeah. You want to be like totally negative.
Yes, exactly. If I can zero it out, I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
So I think that's the biggest thing for me. And it's a big hurdle for a lot of women I see, just eating more in general.
Yeah.
Eating three meals a day, having a snack somewhere in there. And then on top of that, really for me, a hormone balancing meal is going to consist of a protein, a fat, and a carb. Like if we can get that in, I'm good with that. I talked to so many women who are like, oh, I had a granola bar for breakfast. That's not a meal. I love you, but that is not a meal.
Same with a juice, everybody. A juice is not a meal.
That's not even a snack.
No.
Yeah, that's just like water. It's just
and sugar.
Yeah, and sugar.
Oh, awesome. So we definitely seem aligned on that. And
yes.
Aside from food, what are other environmental factors that can wreak havoc on our hormones?
Yeah, I mean, you've got obviously like plastics and things like that. They're going to have an impact on our hormones. And then I try to take into consideration everything with a grain of salt. And I've been on the extremes of, you know, trying to live like the healthiest, most perfect, non-chemical life. And what I found works best for me and my mental sanity is remembering that I can't remove everything from my environment and just trying to make sure that I'm like supporting my gut, supporting my immune system, because ideally a healthy gut, a healthy immune function can handle this sort of thing. You know, it can handle the plastic, it can handle the environmental factors. So, you know, for me, like I said, I try to remove as many plastics as I can, which during COVID is like impossible. I feel like
Totally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on top of that, I try to be mindful of like what chemicals I use in my home and on my body. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like one of the big things I gave up when I was trying to heal my skin was like typical nail polish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing how a lot of these like nail polish, like I guess the nail polish creators, the industry, whatever has changed, like clean beauty. And that has been so exciting to me to be like, I can get a gel nail that's like clean of all the
from Target.
Yeah. That's so amazing. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I try to be most careful of. And when I talk to my clients the most, and then like, I don't spray like pesticides in my yard. I like really try to avoid that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. As you mentioned, like our bodies have the ability to detoxify. It's just like that toxic load and how big that is. So what we can do in terms of what we're putting in our bodies and directly on our bodies and hopefully in our homes makes a big difference.
Totally. But,
yeah. And I do notice even when we could travel, like if I'm in a very populated city or something like that, like I notice the impacts of it. And so I'm like, we would go to New York a good bit and I would notice like if I broke out in like a rash on my neck sometimes or just little things like that. And I was like, okay, my gut, my immune system needs a boost here because we're taking in new stuff.
Totally. Yeah. That's so interesting.
It's interesting once you start to get in tune with your body, like how quickly your body gives you signs of things.
Yeah. Then you're like really in tune. You're like being synchronized with your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And then we talked a little bit about food, environmental factors. So I guess workouts is just kind of the natural thing to lead into next. Especially on social media. I don't know about you guys, but I see a lot of like HIIT workouts, a lot of cardio, just like as hard as you can go, the more calories you can burn, the better.
Right.
But I just wanted to know hormonally that that's maybe the best thing, especially for a woman of childbearing age. And if so, or if not, if there are optimal workouts, depending on the stage of your cycle that you're in.
Mm-hmm. So I know that there's a lot of like hype around like syncing your workouts and things like that. And I do agree to that to an extent. I think that it can be hard. Well, let me rewind. Let me start over with your answering your question about HIIT first. Yeah, that's like so trendy and like doing HIIT. And I was so into that too. I was like, if I can do BBG, you know, however many times around, like I will be strong and fit.
Yeah. With your 800 calories a day. Don't forget.
Yeah. And also doing some cardio on top of that, maybe a little elliptical walk.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, doing that, the biggest thing to note is if you're in an unhealthy state, if your hormones are out of whack, if your gut is out of whack, your body cannot also exercise. And that is like, yes, we can be active, we can go on walks, but we cannot like maintain the type of energy we need and fuel our bodies if we are trying to heal and also trying to like hit a PR or like lose weight. Like those things cannot happen in the same body at the same time.
Right.
In my opinion. And so I often tell my clients if they are struggling with like gut and hormone stuff to put, you know, hardcore workouts on the back burner for the time being, you know, focus on your healing, let your body rest and reset and repair. And then we can go, okay, let's add in, you know, more intense activity, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. And I think something that at least I live by is the best workout is the one that you're actually going to do. So if that's a 15 minute yoga or Pilates workout, speaking from personal experience, then that's the perfect workout for you. If that's walking your dog, that's the perfect workout for you. Or maybe you're ready to kill a HIIT workout. Couldn't be me, but go for it.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I'm excited to hear what your thoughts about workouts along your cycle.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two trains of thought around it. I know when like, Alyssa Vitti came out with her book, now I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Woman Code.
But thank you. I couldn't think of it.
No, that's okay.
When she came out with that, I know a lot of people really got into like cycle syncing and syncing your workouts and your meals and things like that, which I love to an extent. I think it can also create like the same kind of restriction idea of like, I need to eat this thing and this thing only during this time. But I think her concept with the workouts is great. I think it can be hard if you are trying to like, for example, if you are, you know, a CrossFitter and like you've got goals for that. I think it can be hard to, okay, but you know, 2 weeks out of the month, I can't do it. Like it's going to be really hard to like meet your goals and PR and that sort of thing. So the way that I really have adapted it that I find works well for me and my clients is really looking at the intensity more than anything else, because you can have a very high intensity weightlifting session. And you can also have like a very low key weightlifting session. Like both things can happen. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, the first 2 weeks of my cycle, or I guess second and third week of my cycle, I am trying to be I've got energy. Like I'm in my follicular, my ovulatory phases, and I am like ready to go. I'm bubbly. I'm social. Like I'm doing all the things and I can handle those things. But as I'm moving into like my luteal and into my menstrual phases, I'm doing very low intensity things. First couple days of my period, I'm doing nothing. Like nothing. I like to think that I have a very healthy cycle and I'm still like, that's not going to happen. I don't have the energy for it. I want to nap. I want to watch TV.
Yeah. Which is a part of a healthy cycle as well.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, sometimes people are like, I am tired the first 3 days. And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Like,
your body is shedding.
Yeah.
Like your organ is shedding its lining. Like it's okay to rest.
Yes. I say this all the time, but like, if we were having a surgery on any other organ, you would not expect yourself to like get up and go on a walk. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to do some bed rest. And your body is essentially performing surgery on itself. And we're like, this is a great day for a HIIT workout.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I've done a Barry's boot camp for sure on my period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or nothing worse than like when your period starts in the middle of a boot camp workout. I've done that before where I'm like in a high workout. I knew I was tired this morning. Should have done that.
That's so on point. I think something that I learned throughout this year of like getting off of birth control or getting my IUD taken out more specifically, I've sort of learned to just like not push it and to go with the flow. Like literally, like if I want to work out while I'm on my period, I will. If I don't, I won't, or any other day of the month. And just kind of like naturally going with that flow. Like you said, you have the most energy during like the follicular and ovulation. And that's exactly how I feel as well. And it just naturally sort of happens. But I definitely agree with you that anything can be turned restrictive. So
yeah. Yeah. I think when I get a lot of questions about like, okay, where I want to do, you know, eat with my cycle. And I think that can become so restrictive if you're following like a major diet plan. And I'm so like anti-diet, as I know we kind of talked about that with like intermittent fasting and things like that. I'm so just eat and go from there.
Mm-hmm. No, we both, especially this past year, experienced like weight fluctuations and just general, like just feeling out of balance. But mm-hmm. at that time we were both eating like as clean as you possibly can, like eating all the quote unquote right things, working out every day. And we're both like, this feels like we're at a loss. And I think we got to the point where we were like, and I'm speaking.
No, we, it's so interesting wrong. That we both went.
Yeah.
Cause looking back, we did go through that.
And we started just being like, okay, I'm going to work out if I feel like working out, if I have the time and I'm going to eat healthy foods, but like in a way that feels intuitive to me. And we both like the weight fluctuations definitely balanced out, just the general like hormonal symptoms we were having balanced out. And it's crazy because most people I would think, especially on social media, see like wellness influencers posting their perfect meals and their perfect workouts. Yeah. And everyone's like, that's how to be healthy. But in reality, there's a huge mental and spiritual aspect to that as well.
Mind body connection is huge. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and you know, a salad can be really nourishing, but like, so can a piece of cake.
Yeah,
totally. I love that so much, Callie. Yes, I completely concur.
Yeah, like I gotta have both.
Yes, I agree. You cover, we've been over like the broad spectrum, when it comes to women's health. But on your podcast, which I love, by the way, you talk about topics like sex on your period and embracing your inner sex goddess. So can you talk to us about the correlation between confidence and comfort in our own bodies and then how that affects our libido?
Yeah. Yeah. There's such a deep connection between your hormone balance and your libido and also like your sexuality and how you show up in the bedroom. And I find that transition, it really feels seamless. Like I will start working with a client and they're like, okay, I'm ready to come off birth control and I'm ready to like address my hormones. And they're like, not really ready to talk about sex yet. Mm-hmm. And then after they kind of overcome that and they feel really comfortable in their bodies and their health feels under control. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, let's talk about sex. Like mm-hmm. let's dig into that. And I think that there is this connection of, it's very hard to show up in the bedroom and like be your sexiest self, like quote unquote. And not feel comfortable in your health and well-being. I think that there is, there's a connection between that, or more so I would say a disconnect. And so I think that we have to have at least some sort of understanding and like body awareness to be able to feel as sexual as we would like to feel. you know, not to say that like, oh, you have to be in like perfect health, because I don't think great sex is, you know, restrictive to like my health or body type or body size or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think you've got to have that understanding and deep connection with your body before you're going to feel as comfortable as you would like to in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Just because you've got to be aware of like how your body works and how you're feeling and picking up on your body's cues, kind of what we're talking about, and understanding your own pleasure. And if you are going into it with like no connection, no understanding of your body and not really attempting to, it's going to be very hard to show up in the bedroom and be like, yeah, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, because you haven't really opened that door.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any tangible tips that the audience and that we can do to kind of step into that sex goddess a little bit more and become more in tune with your body?
Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to pleasure, sex, intimacy, it starts way before the bedroom. It starts like how you're taking care of yourself outside of the bedroom. So are you, you know, choosing clothes that make you feel really good and sensual in your body? And doesn't mean we have to like dress in lingerie if we want to every day, that'd be great, but we don't have to. But like, you know, today I'm like, I wore a Skims knockoff. I wore that like all day and I was like, wow, this is so cozy. And like, I feel sensual and cozy. And so, you know, just picking things like that, I think, you know, putting yourself together to an extent, again, not to say that we like wear makeup every day. Like my hair hasn't been washed in many days.
mine too.
I'm like, this is fine. Grease back fine. But you know, putting myself together and like feeling, just whatever my definition of pretty for the day is, I think makes a big difference. And treating yourself to those little things throughout the day, having some sort of self-care routine, especially like a self-pleasure routine, I think is really important. And those things add up to where when you get into the bedroom, you are so turned on by like your day-to-day, like, oh, I felt so confident all day. I felt great what I was wearing. I felt pretty. I spoke well to myself. I set aside time for my self-care. Now I would love to have great sex. Like you're so much, your cup is so much fuller.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to show up in the bedroom, whether that's by yourself or with a partner. I think it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah. I mean, this is so relevant to this specific point of my life. I, to be completely transparent, for the past few years, have had essentially no libido, have done all of the gut tests. I have a functional medicine doctor. So all the gut tests, all the blood tests, all the hormone tests, like everything. And nothing was really coming up. And this week there has been a huge shift in my mental health and just like feeling more confident and showing up in a different way and connecting with people in like a really, I don't know, optimal, like fueling way. And I have had kind of a sex drive for the first time this week in like years.
That's like, that was my reaction.
Mackenzie's had to hear me complain about it for years now. So she's like, perfect. Finally, I'm here we are.
Go, girl.
Yeah. So I cannot stress enough, like how much what you just said is so true. And, but I also want to just touch on and make sure that I mentioned that it's not always easy to get there as well. Do you have any tips or just advice for reducing any shame surrounding sex or just feeling more confident in that way?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to remember is like, there's no normal for sex. Like there's sure, we see a lot of one type of sex on TV, heteronormative, intense, passionate pleasure real quick. And then it's over. That's what we see.
I was just talking to a guy friend of mine and I was like, every like online date I've been on, it's like missionary, doggy, missionary, they finish and that's it. And he was like, so what do you like, what position do you want? And I was like, foreplay. Foreplay is what I want. Physically and emotionally.
Like touch my clit before you try to put it in. Let's start.
Yes. Let's preheat the oven, you guys. Yes. Please. Like,
let's just start there. Maybe we could kiss a little. I don't know.
That maybe tell me like that you want me. Maybe like physical intimacy that's not sexual. Like
let's totally. I
built up. Let's get excited about it.
It takes so much like to actually be wet. And I think that that's, sorry.
No, no, you don't have to apologize.
She's like, what? No, but it takes a
I'm
lot.
Still, to it's
be,
a journey.
I know,
it's
I know. I'm supportive. Yeah. But it takes a lot to be wet. And like, even as someone who has a high libido and has for, since I was of libido having age, like I have realized over the years, like it takes more than just like a quick, like, kiss and like some touching and like grab my boob and then we fuck. Like it takes a lot more. And like you're saying, it starts, and like you're saying, Callie, actually, it starts outside of the bedroom and makes its way in.
Well, Okay, so I grew up in a very sexually liberated household. Mm-hmm. My mom was like one of the people who was like, if you are going to give a blowjob, you better know how to do it good. So like, here's a
book. Oh, I love her.
Yeah, so she was like very, like she wanted me to be like well-educated and know what was going on and like understand those things. Literally, I was in high school and she's like, here's a book on how to give a blowjob. Like, I'm not going to teach you, but you're going to read about it.
We love it.
I love that.
Yeah, and definitely so, not my experience.
So, you know, something she used to say a lot that made no sense to me, you know, when you're in high school and like in a relationship with like, you know, some football player and you're like, I love him. It didn't make sense to me at the time, but now it makes so much sense, where she would say that, you know, foreplay with your partner happens all day long. And one of her examples would be like every day, like, you know, we wake up and he makes me tea. And she was like, and that starts foreplay for the day. And I like, it didn't make any sense to me. I was like, he's not touching a boob. Like, what's that doing? And now like being in a relationship and like being older, I totally get that. Like when he cleans the house, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so wet.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Cleaning is my love language, actually.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, please, like, you made the bed, I'm horny. Like,
yeah, let's mess it up.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I do see that now, is that, yes, there's like, when you're either not in a relationship or even just taking care of your own well-being, there is an aspect of like, yeah, dressing well, like I said, dressing well, doing the things you do outside the bedroom, but also the things your partner or significant other is doing outside the bedroom plays a role too. If they're sitting around, they're not taking care of themselves. If they are, you know, sitting around like eating chips all day and not, you know, helping you around, like whatever that is they're doing, that adds up too. If they're not showing up for themselves and like showing up for you, and then you're also not doing those things, I don't know how anyone expects to like have fireworks in the bedroom. It's just not, doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And I want to say that this message is especially for those of you that are parents. I have a 2.5-year-old and I've talked to all of my mom friends about stuff like this. And this is where you really need to try to put in that extra effort into not only like taking care of yourself, but putting that extra attention towards your partner and like putting that effort towards showing them that you love them.
Yeah. Those little acts of service will get you all worked up.
Oh yeah. Oh, totally. Especially a mom will take any act of service. Yeah. And then one last question. It's like a little bit more of a personal one, but what makes you feel juicy? I know you've used this verbiage in your own podcast before, so I'd love to hear it.
I think for me, it's feeling like comfortable and cozy, which are, again, like we said, sex is not like, there's no normal for sex. And so, you know, some people are like, oh, leather, or like, I don't know, like doing something that's like inherently very sensual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like feeling like warm and cozy and like comfortable. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so turned on. That does it for me.
I love that.
What about you, Mackenzie? What makes you feel juicy?
You know, I'm so glad you're asking this, because I had this epiphany yesterday that like, when I was on a run and I was just like listening to 3435 by Ariana Grande. And I was like, damn, I'm hot. Like, I'm just so hot. Like honestly, like when I feel hot about myself, I like turn myself on. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's when I feel, it doesn't necessarily take Garrett, my boyfriend, being like, you're beautiful, even though that obviously helps. It comes from me. And so I had that epiphany and I was like, it's really just me feeling good in myself. So
that's so powerful.
It's really, I was literally running and I was like, I'm the lead character in my movie. Like,
that's how I feel driving in the car.
I am killing
it. And I do play that specific song too.
It's a great, I mean, that is a sexy ass song. So. Yeah.
Mine is laughter and humor. Like, I feel really sexy when I'm funny. Like when I'm making other people laugh, that makes me feel really like sexy and confident. And
And you are really funny. I mean, turning Yasmin on right now.
I know.
Well, Callie, I can't believe, I feel like this time has flown by, but, we want to hear more about you. Like, what is going on for you? Where can our audience find you?
Yeah. So, you can find me on social media at Callie Shay. Spelling is all kind of funky, but, you can search for me there. And website, same thing, CallieShay.com, TikTok, where else? I think that's it. Facebook group is Get Clitorate. Same name as my podcast, Get Clitorate.
We love it.
I am obsessed. When I saw that was your podcast name, I was like, that is the most genius
name ever. Came to me in a dream. So I was like, wow.
Yep. Chills. That's amazing.
I was like, I have a gift now and things come to me in dreams.
Yeah. So. I have channeled.
This is what we mean when we talk about it's all encompassing your mental, your physical, yes. your spiritual wellness. It, yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah. What a great name.
I woke up and I was like, that's the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it was so magical.
And it was so easy to search for too when I did search yeah. for it.
Thank you. I'm good. Glad to hear it. Yeah. So that's where you can find me in terms of like work I do and things like that. All of my courses and working together is on my website. So if you look at the work with me tab, everything's in there. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much thank for you your so time. Much. Honestly, this was such an amazing conversation. We would love to have you back another time.
Yes.
But you. Yeah, thank you for taking the time to talk to us and we hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, we're thank so happy. You. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds yeah. good. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
So now is the part of the episode that we call Spill Your Guts.
We need a little jingle.
I mean, we've been saying this every episode.
If anybody really wants to make us a jingle, please do.
It's gotta have a little sass.
I know.
But like a little funk, also a little bit like
Garrett, trancy. Do you hear this? Are you listening?
He better be. He better be listening to my podcast.
Give us the view, please. We need that listen.
Anywho, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't know, Spill Your Guts is where we talk about our highs and lows of the week. I think we're going to kind of do our highs and lows of the past 2 weeks since it's been that long since we've recorded the last episode. And I feel like so much has happened.
I know.
And I'm excited to talk about it. Do you want me to start? I kind of want you to start.
Okay. I'll start.
Yeah.
I actually just like, as you were talking, I was like, oh, I know what my lows and highs are. So I guess my lows for the past 2 weeks... You know, I'm just trucking along in life. Having a birthday is always really exciting. And last year when I turned 25, I sort of had like my quarter life crisis. I was confused as to what exactly I wanted to be doing and what that looked like. And also I was, at a job that I just didn't like. I was sort of just feeling down. So this year, I'm feeling, turning 26, I felt really ready. Also I was going to say that turning 25 was like I had weird thoughts about aging where I've never been concerned or worried about it in the past. And last year I was like really distraught by the fact I was turning 25. I was like, I'm so old and I'm, you know, it felt so weird. But now turning 26, I'm like, I'm so young and world is my oyster and I'm feeling so great about all my opportunities and everything that I'm doing. So
lots of exciting things coming up for you too. So
I'm very excited about that. But yeah, I think just like with anything, like when you have a really high, like sometimes it's met with not a super low, but just like it can be met with lows, just after you like reach that peak. So on my birthday, Garrett was working and had school and like, you know, friends were doing things. Like I just wanted to like have some time to myself, but I felt really lonely and sad that, I don't know, I just kind of looked at the past year and it's a pandemic and just feeling like yearning for normalcy. That was kind of my low, just kind of sitting there for a second. It didn't last long, but my birthday, the evening of my birthday, I definitely was like in my feels watching Little Women, obsessing over Timothée Chalamet. Reflection is always a part of getting like having another year under your belt, I guess. So that was my low, I would say. And then my high, I feel high, man. Fucking high. No, I just turning 26, having a birthday is exciting. And I definitely was in Aquarius fucking mode. I was like, birthday behavior is in full effect. I'm gonna get dressed up to go get a matcha. I'm gonna like buy myself some books. I'm gonna get Erewhon if I want, which I normally
26, baby, getting crazy.
Do not do. But I was like in my birthday vibe last week, so that was my high. It felt good.
Aww, that makes me happy to hear.
I like attention. It's my Leo and Mars.
That's true. That's very true.
That's what I found out recently.
Yeah,
that my Leo and Mars
that makes sense.
Presents itself as like very. I love attention.
Yeah. I do. So now we just need to speed past Pisces season and skip right into Aries season, and then the real show starts.
Oh, yeah. What about you?
Okay, so my low, I honestly don't really have a big low this week, which I feel like usually my lows are, like, pretty low, and my highs are, like, meh. And there's been a real shift these past 2 weeks where, but my low is that I am still struggling with Aiden's sleep a little bit. Like, he's giving me a hard time to go to bed at night. Mm-hmm. We have been able to nap, thankfully. It's a little bit of a fight, but I'm just happy that that's happening. But the nighttime going to bed, like, still frustrates me, and, like, nothing gets me there as quickly as that does.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that aside, it's just being a parent. It's just being a mom.
Wow, look at this ease. Look at this, like, you know.
Okay, so my highs are going to be really dramatic. I can give you guys, like, other details within this, but my overall high is that I have seemingly found a treatment for my clinical depression that I was diagnosed with at 11 years old. And for the first time, like, I knew that I had a weight that I was carrying on my shoulders, but I did not know how heavy it was until this week. And it is so crazy. And, like, I feel so, like, grateful and so giddy and, like, confident. And, like, I didn't even know what it felt like to be, like, a human that didn't have fucked up brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, like, it's not completely cured or gone or whatever.
No.
And part of me is, like, how did I not do this sooner? Like, how did I not know about this sooner? But it kind of came at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, along with the fact I mentioned I went to Joshua Tree, which that whole experience in general was just, like, fed my soul. This sounds so fucking cheesy, but, like, fed my soul and was exactly what I needed. Just, like, talking to people and connecting with people, and nothing fuels me more than having, like, deep conversations with interesting people. And I got so much of that, and I spent time outside, and I, like, hiked in a fucking peacoat, like, it looked like I was going to JFK, and then I rock climbed down a mountain holding a medium-sized dog in one arm.
I mean,
there was literally a group of, like, groups of people waiting at the bottom of this mountain, just, like, looking at us, like, what the fuck is happening, like, in hiking clothes. And I'm like,
I love it.
Here I am, just doing me,
peacoat and all.
I've been spending time with people that I love, which I know is always aligned with my high, because it really, this week I feel like I kind of had a little bit of a, or I was just thinking about this, about, I've always considered myself to be an introvert, because I've never really been so much of, like, a going out person or, like, a party person, and I love my alone time, and I do feel like I need to, when I do things, like, recover on my own in my own space.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel so fed and, like, get energy from hanging out with the people that I love. So maybe there's some extrovert vibes going on in there that I didn't really know about. And I just feel really grateful to be, like, surrounded by people that I love and have that chosen family, and have, like, I have, like, people that I co-parent with that aren't biologically, like, Aiden's parents, but I co-parent with them with their kid as well. So it's just, it's like, I feel like I have a village and a sense of community.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
There's just, I mean, this is like a rebirth. This is so fucking cheesy, but
no, I love it.
I feel like a new person, and, like, some of my physical health things, or things that I thought were physical health things, have been, like, resolved. And I don't know, I just have, like, a new sense of vitality. I have a crush, which is
huge deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
It, like, hurts so good.
I love that feeling. It's so amazing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like I hate butterflies, but it's, like, exciting. Yeah, like, I have, like, ants in my pants.
Oh, I love that. As your friend, I can see that very clearly. Like, there's been a shift. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. And I think what you said earlier, it happened at the perfect time. Like, it's good that it happened when it happened, and look at you shine.
I know. I was excited to tell you, because I was like, I know you knew and saw how much I've been struggling for a while now. Mm-hmm. And even though I knew, like, in really bad moments that I was struggling, which, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago was pretty bad because I was also really sleep deprived, but I was just like, I can't wait to tell Mackenzie about everything, because she's really going to see the shift. And, like, also haven't seen each other in 2 weeks,
yeah,
which
we haven't,
is insane.
Which is weird. Like, we normally would, even if we weren't recording.
Yeah.
But, whatever, just circumstances. And it kind of, is nice. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh my God.
And after this, we're going to go on a little hike, which I'm so excited about.
Which, by the way, this is like a new thing for Yes. Because,
well, even before these past 2 weeks, I've been telling Mackenzie, I'm like, I always liked to do things. Like, I've been telling you, I want to go snowboarding. If anybody wants to take me snowboarding, please, I just want to go so bad. Am I good?
She's been saying this for weeks.
I went once as a kid and once 5 years ago, but I just want that, like, level of sore that your body is the next day. And I want
that rush.
That sounds so fun to me right now. So if any of you are interested in taking me snowboarding, I'm available for that. But I'm an Aries. Like, I like to do things.
Yeah.
I like to try new things. I like to be good at those things most of all.
Yeah.
And I was either, you know, pregnant, postpartum, or in a pandemic.
Yeah.
These past 3.5 years.
Totally. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, we haven't experienced going out together.
Yeah, or in a relationship that's just, like, really... played a big part in me being, like, a shell of myself.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm feeling like I'm stepping back into myself, so...
Yeah, so it's a big deal. It's exciting that we're going on a hike. Yeah. And I'm just so excited about all the things that we can do together that will feel... new.
You get a little bit of a different Yasmin now.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love both, all of them. I love every Yasmin.
Aww. Well, yeah, I'm excited to tell you guys that. Like, it's big. It's, I don't know, even if it's like placebo, it's fucking working, so.
Anywho, well, we are so excited to have had Callie on, and we're so excited to continue having really awesome guests on the pod. So if you guys have any suggestions or any ideas of guests to have on Gut Feelings, let us know. We would love to hear your feedback and cater to you guys, because you're a part of Gut Feelings just as much as we are.
Yeah, even though we pretty much just use this as an audio diary, you're a pretty important part of it as well. So 100%. We really appreciate you listening and joining us this week and any other week. And like Mackenzie said, please let us know what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. And if you're feeling inclined, leave us a 5-star review.
Yes.
And have a great week.
Love you guys. Talk soon. Bye.